رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let me begin by wishing you Ramadan Kareem in advance. Inshallah, in the next maybe 24 hours, maybe 36 hours, we should be in Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us healthy and alive and well so that we can meet Ramadan in a good state and to give us the ability and the tawfiq to take full advantage of this annual rain of mercy that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. Today I want to talk to you about the rights of Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem, the rights of Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem, because Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an. Unzila fihi Al-Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said we send down the Qur'an in this month, and therefore it is important for us to know what are the rights of the Kalam of Allah. I'm saying rights because we are answerable for rights. If you do not fulfill the rights of somebody or something, then you are doing dhulum. In Arabic, the word dhulum is to put something in a place where it does not belong. For example, to put your feet on the table is dhulum on the table, even though the table is an inanimate thing. But it is dhulum to put your feet on the table because the table is not meant for your feet. So similarly, if we do not fulfill the rights of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is zulum on the kalam of Allah. And therefore, it is very important for us to ensure that we do not fall into this trap of zulum. There are six rights of the Quran al-Kareem, and we will look at them one by one. The reason I want to start today is because in anticipation for the season of Ramadan, any intelligent person who is engaged in any activity prepares for a season of goodness, a season of plenty. For example, if a farmer, before the rains come, the farmer plows his land, he makes irrigation channels and so on and so forth, when there is still no rain, but he is doing that in preparation for the rain which he knows will come. A farmer who does not do that, the rain comes anyway, but if there is no irrigation channel, the land has not been plowed and so on, the water will just flow away and be wasted and will not benefit the farmer even though the rain has come in its correct time. Similarly, a shopkeeper buys his supplies and buys his goods and articles which he sells well before the high season that he expects, whatever time of the year where he expects to make the maximum sale, he stocks up. If he does not do that, and if he waits until the season starts, then the chances are that by the time he is able to stock up, the season is over and he will be left with unsold inventory on his hands. Similarly, for us, it is very important for us to mentally and physically prepare ourselves for this season of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees people from the hellfire. It is very important for us to prepare ourselves mentally and physically for that season so that we can take full advantage of this season. And for that, we will talk about this in more detail in different Jumas. But today, we will look at the most important part of this month of Ramadan, which is Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And as I said, there are six rites of the Quran which are for us to fulfill. I will list them and then we will look at each of them in some detail. The first one is that we believe in the Quran Al-Kareem. And we will see what is the meaning of believe in the Quran. That we believe in the Quran. Number two, that we honor the Quran. Number three, that we read the Quran. Number four, that we understand the Quran. Number five, that we practice the Quran in our lives. And number six, that we propagate it and we take the message of the Quran to the people of the world. So these are the six rights of the Kalam of Allah Jalla wa'ala. The first right of the Quran Al-Kareem is that we believe in it. And that we believe in it not any way we please, not any way we understand by whatever we think believe means, but we believe in it in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba believed in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this specifically. Believe in it as the people have believed. Aminu kama aman an-nas. An-nas, who are an-nas in this ayah? The sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first right of the Quran is that we believe in it in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba believed in it. That we believe every word, every ayah, every order, every hukum, every promise, every bashara, every wa'id, every admonition and warning, every description, every story, and every lesson without any hesitation or doubt, whether or not we understand the how of it. Our belief is bila kaif, without saying how does it happen. So this is the foundation of Islam, that we believe in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every word, every ayah, every order, every promise, every warning and admonition, every description, every story, every lesson, without any hesitation or doubt, whether or not we understand the how of it. We don't believe in the Quran blindly. Let me make this point very clear. I mentioned this also last Jummah. We do not believe blindly. Our faith is not blind. Our faith is with understanding. Now you might say, we just now said, believe in it whether you understand or not, but you are saying faith is with understanding. How is it? We understand who the hukum comes from. We understand who the order comes from. Even if we don't necessarily understand how it happens. Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any example that may be given of him. But this is exactly how we believe in the word of any expert in this world. You go to the doctor says, do this, don't do that, otherwise you will become history. Do you understand exactly why that must happen? Do you understand exactly how it happens when you are eating some very good and, you know, Hyderabadi biryani, how that thing ends up in the insides of your veins, for God's sake? I mean, you know, it's zulm on the veins, eh? You eat good biryani, why doesn't it just go away somewhere instead of coating all the insides, right? Do you exactly understand how this process happens? You don't, but tell me, any of you has any lack of faith in the coating of the veins? No. The doctor tells you, you've got 95% block. You say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, please start, right? Do you say, well, you know, excuse me, I don't understand. What do you mean 95% block? You don't argue. Because you believe in the knowledge of the expert. So your belief is not blind. You can't say you have blind faith on the doctor. You don't have blind faith. You believe that this doctor knows what he's talking about. Therefore you say, I don't necessarily have to understand every how and why of that thing. That is why I'm going to an expert. Right? As I said, we don't give examples of Allah, Jalla wa Ala, but just for us to understand. So therefore when somebody says, I believe in the hukum of Allah, I believe in the story of the Quran, I believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, even if I don't understand it, is that person's faith blind? No. He doesn't understand maybe some part of that story. For example, Suratul Kahf, he reads the story of the Ashabul Kahf. Do you know exactly how somebody can be sleeping for 300 years? No. But do you believe in it? Absolutely. If you don't believe in it, you have exited Islam. Please understand this very clearly. If you do not believe in it, you have exited Islam. So of course we believe in it. Now why do we believe in it even though we don't understand how it happened? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. For the Muslim, that is dalil al-awwal. That is the biggest dalil that can ever be. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. There is no other dalil beyond this. So that is the belief in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that we don't believe in the Quran blindly but with the understanding that it is the actual word of Allah. We have to understand this very clearly. It is the actual speech of Allah. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. It is his kalam, his speech. It is not a created thing. It is one of the sifatillahi ta'ala, one of his attributes. He spoke to us and we are listening. It will intercede for us in the grave and on the day of judgment. It is the greatest of honors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it to us and allowed us to read it and to recite it, and we thank him for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about his kalam and about its effect on those who understand it. Let us examine ourselves and see if these things happen to us. Ramadan comes to enable us to reflect and see where we are going in life and to correct our lives so that we will not need to regret when we meet our Rabb. The meeting with our Rabb is yaqeen. The meeting with our Rabb is haqq. And we don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where we have to feel sorry, where we have to regret, where we have to say that I wish I had done this or that. I remind myself and you that this may be our last Ramadan. May Allah give you long lives and may Allah give you many, many, many Ramadans to come. But we don't know this. And I remind myself that this might be my last Ramadan. So let us make this the best Ramadan of our lives and ensure that we gain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we may not get another chance. If we get another chance, alhamdulillah. But if we don't get another chance, we don't want to stand before Allah and say, oh, I wish I had done this. Oh, I wish I had done i'tikaf in Ramadan. Oh, I wish I had read so much of Quran. Oh, I wish I had done my, prayed Taraweeh and stayed with the Imam till the end and not disappeared midway. Irrespective of the dalil, we look at all of those things, inshallah. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the effect of his kalam. Just reflect on this and see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why does he have to mention the effect of his kalam by giving a very powerful example? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do we give examples of anything? We give examples to draw attention to something important. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the famous ayat of Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this example. We all know the ayah. Had we sent down this Quran on a mountain, you would surely have seen it humbling itself and rendering asunder, exploding, turning into dust by the fear of Allah, min khashyatillah. Such are the examples which we put forward to mankind so that they may reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned the effect of the Quran on the bodies and hearts of those who listen to it. I remind you to seriously reflect on these ayat and to watch for these, the changes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, physiological changes, and internal, mental, and spiritual changes, emotional changes. Do we experience this when we read the Quran or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is what happens to people who read my kalam. So should we not reflect? When I am reading this kalam of Allah, is it happening to me? Please, let us approach the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that befits its majesty and grace. It's very sad that unfortunately, there is a major problem with the way we teach the Quran. Huge problem. I don't want to go into the details of all that. Inshallah, as and when we will talk about that. Make dua if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and the Standard Bearers Academy gets established, which is what we are working for. Inshallah, we'll turn all of this upside down on its head and we teach the Quran, inshallah, in the way that it should be taught. We teach the Quran like a mechanical thing, like some mantra, you know, just memorize. Just read something and go away and that's it. And there is no focus. There's no focus on the student. let me show you and recite for you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And then ask yourself this question. When you were reading the Quran with your ustad, I'm not denigrating any of the asatis. I'm just saying this is a major issue. We have to look at the issue. When you were in the hifz class or when you were reading the Quran, did your ustad ever stop you and say, you just read this ayah, tell me, what did it do to your heart? Does anyone ever ask this question? Have you ever heard of anyone asking this question? Do you stop in the middle of the dawr and say, you just memorize and tell me, what has this done to your heart? Is there anything, what is happening inside you? There was a time, and this is how the sahaba learned, this is how the tabi'in learned. I haven't invented this, this is not rocket science, this is how Quran al-Karim was taught. But unfortunately, among the many other things we forgot this also. And there's a big, big tragic result of that, which is that we have the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our tongues, and it does not go beyond our below our throats. It doesn't do anything to us. Our hearts are still filled with fear. Our lives are our lives are still empty of the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not supposed to happen. But it happens because we have no connection with the kalam of Allah. This month of Ramadan comes, I'm not saying this for us to self-flagellate and beat ourselves up. No, I'm saying this to draw my attention and your attention to the fact that the month of Ramadan comes to correct all of these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the effect of the Quran on the bodies and the hearts. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِّنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أُولَئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابًا مُتَشَابِهًا مَثَانِيَ تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جلود الذين يخشون ربهم ثم تلين جلودهم وقلوبهم إلى ذكر الله ذلك هدى الله يهدي به من يشاء ومن يضلل الله فما له من هاد.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah mentioned, is he whose breast, whose chest, whose heart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened to Islam so that he is in the light from his Rabb equal to or like a non-Muslim? So woe to those whose hearts are hardened against the remembrance of Allah. They are in plain error. Dalalum mubeen. Allah has sent down the best statement, Ahsan al-Hadith. Allah has sent down the best statement, a book, this Quran, its parts resembling each other in goodness and truth, often repeated. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning specific conditions. The skins of those who fear their Rabb shiver from it when they recite it or hear it. Does this happen to us? Is there any change in the skin? Do your hair stand on end? Allah is saying it happens. The skins of those who fear their Rabb shiver from it when they recite it or hear it. Then their skin and their hearts soften to the remembrance of Allah. Two very clearly described conditions. I remind myself and you to please reflect. When you listen to the Quran, when you read the Quran, reflect inside yourselves and say, what is happening to my heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned the effect of the Quran on the heart. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the mu'mineen are people who, when they ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, when the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before them, when they hear the zikr of Allah, when they see the signs of Allah, their hearts shiver with the fear and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited before them, their iman increases. And as a result of these two things, what happens? وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And that is how they have tawakkul on Allah. They have faith on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. Today, what is the cause of fear? The cause of fear is lack of tawakkul. How does tawakkul happen? Tawakkul cannot happen if you do not recognize Allah. How do we recognize Allah? It's not some magic formula. You don't have to go and sit in a cave and do something. You recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reading His kalam. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself to reflect on the Quran. Use this month of Ramadan to the best in the best way that we can use it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned what not to do with the Quran. He warned us against trying to seek hidden meanings and trying to invent philosophies to explain things in terms of our minuscule and very limited understanding. This is one of the traps. And interestingly, this is one of the traps of the intellectuals in this ummah. They don't understand a basic foundational principle, which is Allah knows more than me. So if I say Allah knows, that is a good answer. That's a good answer. As I explained to you earlier, we don't give examples of Allah. But if somebody tells you, you are eating this medicine, why? You say, because the doctor said this. Nobody will say you are a fool. How come you don't understand why it is happening? Nobody will say that because they accept this as a good answer. Yes? The doctor told me, alhamdulillah, I don't have to know exactly why he told me this because I trust the doctor, he's an expert. So how come if I say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, Allahu alam, this is not a good answer? It is the best answer that you can give. But then for some people it's not enough. So what do? They now try to invent and they try to concoct philosophies. And there's a big problem with many of these things. And that is one of the traps. I'm not saying that one must not explain the ayat of the Quran within quote scientific discoveries. One can do that, but keep this in mind. There is a trap also in that. For example, somebody says the Quran mentions the Big Bang theory. People, you've heard this before, right? People have mentioned this, Big Bang theory. First and foremost, does the Quran actually mention the Big Bang theory? No. The Quran mentions something which we relate to the Big Bang theory and we say this is what the Quran mentions. So first of all, this interpretation itself is wrong. It's against the usul of tafsir, first of all. Second point is, who was there to see the Big Bang? The guy who wrote the theory, was he there at the time? No. It's a theory. It's somebody's conjecture. Somebody conceptualized something. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. So now we are propagating Islam by saying, people, you know what, you should believe in the Quran, is the word of Allah, because the Big Bang theory is mentioned in the Quran. Then somebody now comes up with a theory which makes this Big Bang theory, he completely destroys it. And he says, this theory is completely false. So now what do you do with the Quran? Because you have been saying all this while the Quran is true because of Big Bang. Now he says, Big Bang is false. Therefore, what about the Quran? So don't fall into this trap. There's no need. Allah, the kalam of Allah, alhamdulillah, is sufficient for us. No need to invent, and I am just mentioned one. There are many such things that float around in the atmosphere of the confused thinking of intellectuals. Don't fall into that trap. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what not to do with the kalam of Allah. In Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِقُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sent down to you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book, this Quran. In it, there are ayat which are muhkamat, which are entirely clear, and they are the foundations of the book. And this refers to all the ahkam and the faraid and the hudud and so on. وَأُخَرَى مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and there are others which are not entirely clear. And then Allah says, so as for those in whose hearts there is a deviation, as for those in whose hearts there is a disease, a deviation from the truth, they follow that which is not entirely clear, seeking fitna. They are looking for trouble and seeking for hidden meanings, but none knows the hidden meanings illallah, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in it, the whole of it. Kullum min indillah. We believe that everything in it is from Allah. The clear and the unclear are from our Rabb. And none receive admonition and warning except people of understanding. And this is the tafsir in Tabari. So seeking hidden meanings, you know, running around here and there, trying for this and that. All of this is not from the way that the Quran should be approached. We believe in the Kalam of Allah, everything and all of it. We believe that this is the actual speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that this is not a created thing. And we believe in it completely and totally, that of which we understand and that which we don't. For example, if you look at the huruful muqatta'at, you know, alif, lam, mim, yasir, and so on and so forth, ha, mim, ya, in, so, ha, mim, kaf, ha, ya, in, swad, all of these huruful muqatta'at, the meaning of it is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are many people who try to ascribe meanings to this. And there are many people who try to tell you, read kaf, ha, ya, ayn, swad 75 times and then followed by ha, mim, and then finish with yasin, and this will happen to you and you will grow horns in your head or something. Allah alone knows best. All of these concocted wazifas. You must have a recipe book of this. Print that. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Playing games with the kalam of Allah. This is not from the actions of the Muslims. Anyone who tells you all these formulas, throw him and the formula out of the window. Safest bet. The second right of the Quran, and we will inshallah do this khutbah in installments, next Jumu'ah and so on, so don't get too alarmed, I'm only on the second out of six. We'll finish with the second inshallah. The second right of the Quran is that we honor it. That we honor the Quran. The famous hadith narrated by Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, who narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, the best of you is the one who teaches the Quran and learns it. In another narration he said, he used the word, instead of waw, he said, aw, teaches it or learns it. The best of you. The criterion of honor among the Muslims is how much Quran the person knows. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked him, who should we make the imam? He said, the one who knows the Quran, who knows the most Quran. And remember, this of course applies to a person who is a hafiz of the Quran, but it doesn't necessarily mean somebody who knows the most ayat. It also refers to somebody who understands the Quran and practices the Quran and so on and so forth. That's the meaning that the ulama have taken over the years. There's a very beautiful, very nice hadith about this little boy who must have been about, when he narrated, later on he narrated the hadith, but the time that he is talking about, he must have been about maybe 7 or 8 years old. So he said that my qabila, we used to live outside of Makkah. And every time somebody came out from Makkah, they used to stop by our tribe, by our qabila, and people used to ask them, what is Muhammad saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And these people used to recite the Quran. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He recited the Quran. So anyone come from Makkah, he said, this ayat has been revealed and that has been revealed, and they would recite Quran. And this little boy said that I memorized all of this. Now imagine, he's sitting there in the majlis. He's not officially part of the majlis. He's just hanging out with his dad or whatever. And he's listening to what people are saying. This is what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And he memorized it and so on and so on. He said after a couple of years, my father, who was the head of the tribe, he said he went to Makkah and he accepted Islam. And he came back and all the tribe accepted Islam at his hand. So he said, when my father was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he accepted Islam, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, now what should I do? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, establish salah. So he said, who should we make the imam? So he said, make the one who knows the most Quran the imam. So he said, now when my father came back to the tribe and he said, well, who knows the most Quran? Guess who it was? This 8-year-old kid or 7-year-old kid. No one knew more than him. He remembered the most ayat. So they said, all right, you are the imam. So he said, I was leading salah. And he said, one day, he said, one woman stood up in the back. Women are always trouble. So this woman stood up in the back and she said, what kind of imam is this? When he goes into ruku, we see everything. Because he said, there was a tear in the back of my thob. He said, I didn't realize. A little kid running around and whatnot. He said, there was a tear in the back of my thob. And this woman stood up and said, what sort of imam is this? When he goes in ruku, we can see everything. So he said, my father went and bought me a new thob. And he said, I was so happy to get a new thob, which I would not have got unless I knew Quran. He said, this new thob came to me because I knew the most Quran. They wanted me to be the imam, so they wanted to make sure the imam is properly covered. So they got him a new thob. Such a beautiful life. That's why you must read the seerah. If you read the seerah, you fall in love with these people. Subhanallah. You fall in love with the sahaba. You fall in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now in today's world, of course, now don't make a 7-year-old the imam. This is this is for us today. It is not necessary and so on. But just to understand that in a state where there is no other choice. I mean, they had, for them it was darura, so they did that. But the point is, what gives the honor? The knowledge of the kalam of Allah. What gives the honor is the knowledge of Quran. So it is the right of the Quran that we honor it. Now, I always, people, for example, many people, they read the Quran and then they put it on the ground, on the musalla. Now, this is against the adab of the Quran. Physically honoring the Quran means what? To put it in a high place, not to put it somewhere where your feet are towards it. When you carry the Quran, carry it, like this in your hand, holding it against your chest. Don't carry it like some book like this, waving it around in the... No. Treat the Quran differently from the way you treat anything else, from the way you treat any other book. So it's very important for us to physically honor the Quran. People are huffaz of the Quran. And anytime I am asked to speak at a HIF school, I always make this point. I tell the person, I say, you call yourself Hafiz Quran. Your people call you the Hafiz of the Quran. But I tell them, the reality is that the Quran is your Hafiz. You are not the Hafiz of the Quran. The Quran is your Hafiz. You are not protecting the Quran is protecting you. Because that kalam is going to come in your grave to make shafaat for you on the day of judgment, when you go in the grave. That kalam of Allah is going to make shafaat for you on the day of judgment. It is because you know this kalam of Allah and you made hifz, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give shafaat for 10 people to the hafiz of the Quran. And he will be allowed to pick any 10 people of his choice to go into Jannah. Now this of course refers to people who have not been relegated to the fire because they were kuffar or mushrikeen, which talks about people who are Muslim, but Allah alam, maybe they are not, they didn't do what they should have been doing. But for them, and other than this, they would have gone into the hellfire for some time for purification. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save them from this, inshaAllah. And the hafiz of the Quran, and see the beauty of the narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah specifically in this hadith did not say hafiz of the Quran. He said people who are attached to the Quran. He said people of the Quran. And alhamdulillah, therefore it opens the door for all of us who are also not hufaz. The hafiz Quran, but also somebody who reads the Quran regularly, who may not memorize the whole thing, but he is attached to the Quran, he reads it every day, he loves the kalam of Allah. Inshallah, this person is also in this hadith. This is my interpretation. May Allah make it right. I am not claiming any legal status to that interpretation. But inshallah, for issues of fadail, we can put anything we want on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is beyond His mercy, inshallah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, this person who is attached to the Quran, the hafiz of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, read it like you used to read it in this life. And for every word that he utters, the Quran will raise his darajat in Jannah. Ajeeb, huh? For every word, Allah will raise his status in the Jannah. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that the Quran is the only book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us with hasanat for reading it. If you read ahadith, for example, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing to do, and Allah, it's a good deed Allah will give us, but there is no promise of Allah of so many hasanat per every letter of hadith. There is nothing like this. But with the Quran, the famous hadith of Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give 10 hasanat for every letter of the Quran that you read. And he said, I do not say that alif, lam, meem is one letter. He said, alif is one letter, lam is one letter, and meem is another letter. Which means that when you start reading and you simply say alif, lam, meem, 30 hasanat have been written in your book of deeds. And then Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, narration from him, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he said this, he meant reading the Quran outside of Salah. He said, when you read the Quran in Salah, in Qiyam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives 100 hasanat for every letter which is recited. And according to the Aimmah, reading the Quran and hearing and listening to the Quran attentively is equal. Therefore, now imagine the hasanat that you are getting in when you are standing in Taraweeh. It's like a counter which is spinning. But that happens if the reciter is reciting properly and you are listening attentively. It doesn't happen when the reciter is reciting. Please understand that. We'll come to that inshallah in detail. But I'm just very, very clear about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentioned the glory of his kalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath when he mentioned the glory of his kalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا أُقُسِمُوا بِمَوَاقِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين. In Surah Al-Waqia, the ayat which I am very fond of reciting. Somebody told me, why do you recite it every time? I said, because I love it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so I swear, I take an oath by the mawaqi, by the setting of, or by the constellations. And Allah says, of the stars, as they traverse the heavens. And verily, that is indeed a great oath, if you but know. That this indeed, this kalam of Allah, is indeed an honorable recital, the Holy Quran. In a book, where is the original of the Quran? Fi lawhi mahfuz. In a book with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is well guarded, la yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun, and no one except those who are purified, the malaika al-muqarrabun, can touch it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is the revelation, tanzeelum min rabbil alameen, which has been revealed and sent down from Rabbul Alameen. My brothers and sisters, we have to understand that we must honor this kalam of Allah, because it is something which is highly deserving of honor. We are not doing it a favor. We are only expressing the fact when we honor the Quran, we are honoring ourselves. Please understand, if somebody is disrespectful to his father, is he insulting his father or is he insulting himself? Himself. You spit at the sky, it falls in your face. Simple as that. Somebody who deserves honor, if you don't give him that honor, you are only demonstrating that you are an ignorant fool. Nothing else. The honor which the person deserves does not disappear. Imam Ghazali or Sheikh Saadi alayhi rahmah, I don't know which one of them, but one of them said this. He said that a diamond falls in the dust, it still remains valuable. But the dust can rise all the way up to the heaven, it still has no value. So honoring the kalam of Allah, we honor ourselves. So please be very, very careful about the kalam of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us from disputing about his kalam. And these disputes arise because of ignorance. Today it is the fashion and the custom where people say, in my opinion, I think this is what it means. La hawla quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. Please be very, very careful. The tafsir of the Quran is not something that we do with our whims and fancies. The tafsir, please understand what are the usul of tafsir. Obviously, I have no time here to say all of that now, but let us understand this and let us not play games with this. I will simply give one example to illustrate how careful we need to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Abasa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, which is وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّهُ. So when this ayat was revealed, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, we understand habba, which means a new shoot, a new growing shoot. But what is abba? Fakiha we understand, which is fruits. And habba we understand, which is a new growing shoot. But what is abba? Because Allah said, wa fakihatan wa abba. And then he admonished himself and he said, oh Umar, do not speak about something of which you have no knowledge. Somebody took this ayah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. If somebody thinks that they have more right to make tafsir of the Quran than Abu Bakr Siddiq, then let them make tafsir according to their whims and fancies. Somebody went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and they said, what is the meaning of Abba? Allah has revealed, this ayah has come, wa faqihatan wa Abba. What is the meaning of this word Abba? And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, which earth will give me a place to live? And which sky will shade me and protect me if I speak about the Quran with my opinion or with something that I do not know? Yeah? How is it that we are so brave? I don't know. Eh? We are so brave, mashallah. We say whatever we want about the kalam of Allah. We pick something from here, pick something from... This is what I think it means. If anyone had a right to say, this is what my heart tells me, or this is what I think, if anyone had a right to say that, it was the Sahaba of Rasulullah. Because they were the only generation which heard the Quran directly from the Mubarak tongue of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were the only generation who prayed behind Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was reciting the Quran. They were the only generation which had knowledge of the Asbabun Nuzul, personal experience of Asbabun Nuzul. لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْمُعَائِنَةِ Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the khabar is not like the mu'ayna, the news is not like the experience. We also know Asbabun Nuzul because we read about them, but we were not there at the time. There is a big difference between being there at the time. Hadith Jibrail, narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab, we all know Hadith Jibrail. But Umar ibn al-Khattab was sitting there looking at Jibrail alayhi salam with his eyes, wearing that white thobe on which there was no sign of travel, black hair and beard, no sign of dust. Who was seeing that with his own eyes? Me? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So when I recite Hadith Jibrail and Umar ibn al-Khattab recited Hadith Jibrail, there is a difference of the heavens and the earth between these two recitations. Even though we are speaking about the same incident, even though we are saying exactly the same thing. Why? Because Umar ibn al-Khattab was there at the time he experienced it. Whereas I am talking about something which I heard. So if there was anyone in the world who could make this ta'wil of the Quran, it was the Sahaba. And I told you what the afzal of the Sahaba, what the imam of the Sahaba, what did he say? I want to close with a very incident which always, whenever I remember this incident, it makes my hair stand on end. And inshallah, we have done two of the six. Inshallah, next Jummah we will do the other two. There was a friend of ours in Bangalore, a friend of my wife and myself, who was a classical Hindustani singer. This lady was from the Gwalior Gharana and she used to sing very beautifully. So she was this, and she was an elderly lady. When we met her, she must have been in her 60s or late 60s. And she told me a story which, subhanAllah, every time I stand and read the Quran, whenever I'm reading Salah, I always think of the story. The woman was not even Muslim. She said, I'll tell you, I'll say the story in Urdu and then I will also translate it, because let the Urdu people get some, you know, maza out of this. So, unhone humse kaha, she said, main bahut choti thi aur mujhe Begum Akhtar ke gaane gaane ka bada shauk tha. To Begum Akhtar ke main gaane bahut gaati thi. She said, main choti thi bilkul, main 10 saal se kam thi umar, 8-9 saal ki umar thi. To kaha, hamare ustad ne एक दिन हमें बेगम अख्तर से मिलने ले गए. तो कहा, हम वहां गए, बेगम अख्तर बैठी हुई थी, हमको सामने बिठा दिया और हमारे उस्ताद ने कहा कि आप बेगम साहब, ये आपका गाना बड़ा अच्छा गाती है. तो बेगम साहब ने कहा कि बेटा सुनाओ. शी सेड, बेटा कुछ सुनाओ. एंड दिस लेडी टेल्स मी, शी सेड, हम कांप गए. शी सेड, हमें तो बहुत डर लगा. थिंक अबाउट दिस. He said, हम कहां गए, हमको तो बहुत डर लगा. तो हमने पूछा, क्यों आपको डर लगा? कहा कि बेगम साहब का गाना हम बेगम साहब ही को सुनाए. He said, बेगम साहब का गाना हम उन्हीं को सुनाए, हम कैसे सुनाए? अजीब है. टेक इबरत. दिस लेडी सेड टू मी, शी सेड टू अस, शी सेड, व्हेन आई वाज वेरी स्मॉल, आई मस्ट हैव बीन अबाउट 8 or 9 years old. He said, I used to, there's a famous classical Hindustani singer called Begum Akhtar. He said that, she said, when I was very small, I used to love singing the songs of Begum Akhtar. So he said, when I was learning to sing, and I was maybe 8, 9 years old, he said, my ustad one day took me to meet Begum Akhtar. And she said, Begum Akhtar was sitting there, and my ustad made me sit in front of her, and my ustad said to Begum Akhtar, he said, Begum Sahab, this little girl, she sings your songs very well. She sings your songs very well. And she said, Begum Akhtar told me, let me hear something. Please sing one of my songs. So this girl, when she was 8 or 9 years old, she tells me, I was terrified. I was very afraid. I started shivering. So I said, why were you shivering? She said, she wanted me, Begum Akhtar wanted me to sing her song in front of her. He said, I was afraid. How can I sing her song in front of her? My brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you. How can you and I stand and recite the kalam of Allah wrongly before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think about this. We'll come to the issue of reading the kalam of Allah, inshallah. I'll talk to you about that in detail. But how can think about this when we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are reading, when we are reciting the Quran, how can you have absolutely no hesitation in standing there and making mistakes, in standing there and reading the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrongly? We will look at the detail of this. I just want to put this thought in your mind. Let us have at least the fear that little girl had in the case of singing. We don't even have that fear with regard to the recitation of the Quran. Let us make this niyya, inshallah, that in this Ramadan, we will correct it. Yes? Inshallah. In this masjid, inshallah, we will we will arrange and we will announce this. We will arrange classes of tajweed. We have our ustad and the imam, Maulana Mufti Muhammad Adam Sahib, Dan Barkatum, who will be here. We will request him, and if he agrees, then we will have classes of tajweed. Please come and learn. Please come and learn. It's not difficult. It's very easy. Please come and learn. don't stand and read the kalam of Allah wrongly. We look at the whole issue of tajweed and so on and so forth next Jummah, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan. Let's do our sunnah, then we'll do salah, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.